Listeners have been emailing me about their great experiences when they visited a Tecovas store, the company renowned for upholding timeless traditions and delivering top-notch quality in every pair of cowboy boots. If you haven't experienced their exceptional craftsmanship firsthand, why wait any longer? Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have custom leather branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Today on the ZabeCast, is Stetson Bennett the greatest college football story ever told? Or is it a total joke that a 26-year-old is playing against horny 19-year-olds? My man Hatch, the Cincinnati Bearcat, joins me. We'll get into what it's like to play with fear in football, the Cowboys' chances of making the Super Bowl, and more. All that plus what the Bears should do, but absolutely will be too scared to. Your 35-minute dose of pure me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Wednesday, January 11, 2023. Thank you for downloading. My man, Bryant Hatcher, the former Cincinnati Bearcat wide receiver turned part-time Calgary Stampeder, is going to join me here in just a second to talk some college football, some DeMar Hamlin, some Cowboys, and who knows what else is on his mind. But he actually made a point to reach out and say, I got some things to say. And I said, well, then, by all means, Hatch, we will get you on the show. So now that the dust has settled on the NFL regular season and we are heading to the playoffs, a lot of accounting going on for what happened during the regular season and also a look ahead to, okay, well, who should draft who and what are teams going to do? I think this number is right. 108? 108 days until the NFL draft. That sounds about right. January, February, March, end of April. That's almost 4 months. You cut off half first week of January, last week of April. Sounds about right. Somebody tweeted a meme that said, me on day two of 108 days of talking as a Bear fan about what the team should do at the number one pick. There is an assumption that, of course, they are going to trade out of it for a bounty of picks for a team that is desperate for a quarterback so they can take, presumably, Bryce Young of Alabama. Now listen. That's all the presumption. Now, things can and do change dramatically as the days and weeks go on. But the assumption that, oh, no, we're good at quarterback is nuts if you're the Bears or a Bear fan. You're not good. You got a guy in Justin Fields who's intriguing, who can run like the wind, but is not a passer right now. by any stretch, by any metric. And if you need more, here. Justin Fields led the league in sack percentage, sacks, and fumbles. Second worst INT percentage and second last among preferred starters in completion percentage, despite having the second fewest drops in the league per Pro Football Reference. Now, I know people are going to go, oh, the O-line, oh, the lack of weapons. Yeah, okay, But there is, you're crazy if you think that he is a finished product. We're good to go. We don't need a quarterback at 1-1. So what should they do? What has no team in my lifetime done to solve the most critical position on an NFL roster, quarterback? No team has ever gone right back to the well to take a second quarterback very high or even 1-1 with a presumed franchise quarterback that you just drafted a year or two earlier already on the roster. It just doesn't happen. Why? Because there's this feeling of, well, that'd make the other guy kind of offend him, you know? I mean, he was going to be the guy, and now you're bringing in another guy to be the guy. Like, how is that going to work? It's like two Spider-Man meme. What, wait a minute, I'm the guy? No, you're the guy? I understand there is a certain amount of energy and a certain amount of organizational push that has to go behind getting a young quarterback who's taken high in the first round over. I get it. There can't be that doubt, that uncertainty. But at the same time, this is a production business. This is a results business. It's a pressure business as well. If a quarterback who was supposed to be the savior, like Justin Fields was, cannot handle another guy coming in, maybe then he ain't the guy. Now, I understand from a purely analytic standpoint, you don't, you know, there can only be one quarterback in the field at a time. That's the difference between taking two wide receivers, two running backs, two defensive ends. They can all play at the same time, and so you're not wasting draft capital. But with quarterback and the position being so crucial, and with injuries, if I was the Bears and I owned the team, I would direct the GM, I would direct the coach, you're taking a quarterback 1-1. I'm not trading out of it. We're going to have two. And if you have any problem spinning it to the press or justifying it, or you're worried about, oh, that'll be such a circus, I'll have the PR department write up a bullet point list of things you can say to help handle it. I would call this the brute force method of getting your guy, of getting your quarterback. Sure, you may come after another year or two. Let's say Bryce Young is better, he wins the job, and you've got Justin Fields, who you invested a lot of draft capital in, multiple picks to move up just to select him. What do you do? Throw him away? You might have to. But if you've got the guy who's now your 10 to 12-year guy, your dude, your Patrick Mahomes, your Josh Allen, and by the way, I'm not comparing Bryce Young to that. I don't even know if he's really worthy of being 1-1. I've just kind of heard that. I'm using it as a hypothetical. Then fine. So you spent some time, spent some draft capital on Justin Fields. Didn't work out. His feelings got hurt. But guess what? We got our guy now. I would not trade away that 1-1 pick when you're a team that is obviously in need of a quarterback still, despite the bad O-line, despite the lack of wide receivers. Brute force, I'm going to pitch until I win. Sort of like the rich guy at the carnival who just has a stack of bills and says, just keep throwing. Keep throwing till you knock over all the milk jugs or milk bottles until I win that huge stuffed prize. Is it cheating? No. Doesn't look real cool. Can be expensive, but you end up with a giant stuffed teddy bear at the end of the day, and that's what NFL teams, I think, should consider doing. Hasn't happened yet. Could happen sometime soon. I like this. Hard to get much better than this, right? Notorious B.I.G. with Big Papa. You know you've made it here on the Zabecast when you get your own walk-up music. That's That's what my man Hatch has requested, and that's what he's getting.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome to the big time, Hatch. You've got your own walk. You've got your own walk-up music now.
That's right.
So this obviously this song iconic. What does it mean to you, though?
Just back in the day, I just it was one of my favorite songs.
Was it a was it like a pregame song for you playing football?
No, this song was after I played football.
Okay.
After
yeah. Like wind down. Yeah.
It's a wind down song, correct.
397 million views on YouTube. Notorious B.I.G. So yeah, pretty popular. Hatch, my man, how are we doing in the wake of just an absolute slaughtering in the national championship game?
I stopped watching at halftime.
Because you were bored or you didn't feel good about it?
I just didn't feel good. 38-7 at halftime, and the quarterback who had played great all year long got in that game, and I don't know if it was the big lights or he just crapped out.
Max Duggan
from the get-go, throwing grounders and then throwing interceptions. Then he started pressing.
Oh, he was
then
shook.
He started holding the ball. It was over.
Yeah, he was shook, but then again, he was also under siege. I mean, the talent gap was stunning to watch.
Well, the problem was, I don't know what the offensive coordinator was thinking. He didn't do what he had been doing that got him there, which was running the football to set up the pass. They had early on, they ran the ball the first series and ran 5 yards, 7 yards, 6 yards, and then he just abandoned the run.
Really? Just didn't have the patience. But then you're going to have to stitch together the perfect game over 40 minutes.
You're going to have to. But you need to control the clock. And the way to control the clock and keep Georgia's offense off the field is by running the ball and time of possession. Yeah. Throwing short, quick passes. They were trying to throw the ball downfield.
Yeah. 60,
it was awful.
60
awful.
Minutes. I said 40 minutes. I had college basketball in the brain.
Right.
At one point, I asked on Twitter, Hatch, I go, is there such a thing as running up the score in a national championship game?
They sure did.
I mean, that's hard. That is bad. Well, so people were asking me today, they're like, so does that make TCU frauds? And I said, no. I said, I don't like the term fraud in sports because I'm a big word guy, and I believe words mean specific things. Fraud is an intention to deceive or steal money from somebody illegally. No NFL team, no college team, no sports team ever intends to, you know, be more than perhaps we thought they were. I think TCU was more like a shooting star. Someone else said, well, if they're not a fraud, were they a Cinderella that just got crushed? And I said, no, they're not a Cinderella because they play in a Power 5 conference. I just think they were a shooting star team that caught everything right in one brief moment, but they flamed out right before they had a chance to win it.
Just like you want me to give you, I'll give you a basketball
analogy or comparison.
Comp Gonzaga.
Which one? Because they've become a power now.
Yeah, they have, but they haven't won. They get into the national championship game and lose. Bad, usually.
Okay. Are they frauds? Are they
Cinderellas? Because you play to get there. So nobody's a fraud. You earn your way to get there. What happens is the same thing. Gonzaga has become a power, but they've become a power to a point. They haven't won a national championship.
No, they were runner up in 2017 and 2021.
Look at the score. Baylor destroyed them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say I wouldn't call Gonzaga a fraud, but they are.
No, I never called anybody a fraud. Well, I don't call anybody a fraud.
Yeah. I know. Let me just work through this here. So,
okay,
for those that might want to say, but they play in such a rinky-dink conference, I agree that they're not a fraud, but Gonzaga is sort of what I call a side door power in that they get into the tournament via the side door where they're playing a bunch of rinky-dinks all year long. They do tangle with the heavyweights in November and December in these preseason tournaments.
Yep.
But they don't have to play an equally heavyweight program on a Tuesday night, on a cold night in the middle of winter when you're not feeling your best And the other team is like, fuck yeah, Gonzaga's in town. Let's beat their asses.
Right.
And that's what every other program does at a major conference. So.
Right. And you know who that's been to them? San Francisco and Santa Clara.
Yes.
Or who's the other one? Mount St. Mary or St. Mary.
St. Mary's, yeah. St. Mary's, yeah. Those programs that's have it. Clipped them at times, but they're nowhere right. near.
Near, right.
Yeah. So anyway, so back to the TCU thing.
Right.
I think it's a great story. I think the Stetson Bennett story is maybe the greatest college football story ever told, but some people are really chafed that he is 26 years old. Now, we'll get
25, which is dumb. Who cares?
Okay.
I'll give you plenty of stories on people that are that age
okay.
that play.
Let me put away the 25 for a second. Here's why I think it's a great story. I mean, the kid comes to Georgia with a stupid haircut and a silly mustache. And he's like, I want to play quarterback for you guys. And they're like, yeah, all right, kid, whatever. And he quickly realizes they're not going to give him a shot. So he's like, all right, fuck it. I'll go to a junior college in Mississippi. Yep. Does, yep. wins a championship, comes back and says, hi, I'm back. I want to play quarterback. And Kirby Smart's like rubbing his temple going, oh, Jesus, this guy's
well,
back
they gave
again.
Him a scholarship.
I know.
They gave him a scholarship.
Yep. I know. And so he's like, all right, he's back. I guess we got to give him a scholarship. So they did. All right, great. Now he's on the team and he's like, I could start. And they're like, no, you're QB3 at best. And he's like, no, I can really help you. And he just keeps grinding and grinding. And then JT Daniels gets hurt. He gets in there. And this kid starts driving this loaded sports car like he fucking stole it. And he wins two championships.
Not necessarily. So the first time he played, he got destroyed by Alabama. The first year he started. And I was like, Georgia will never win a championship with that guy at quarterback. That's what I said.
Well, you're self-reporting. You're self-reporting your freezing cold takes. Yep. I really respect that, Hatch.
Hey, I said it because I watched the game when he played against Alabama, and I wanted Georgia to beat him so bad, and he looked terrible.
Right.
Terrible. And I was like, they'll never win with this guy. And actually, the next year, they started JT Daniels the first couple of games.
That's true.
And then he got back in there in like game three, and then he took the job from there moving forward.
Yeah. But from there on, he became the man and two national championships, and he was dealing last night. I mean, it's a hell of a story. I respect it from an overachieving, perseverance kind of a story, because he does not have very much of a pro prospect, right? They don't.
No, he'll go to somebody's camp. He'll get invited as a free agent. He's not going to get drafted, or maybe some team might draft him the last pick. Something like that, but he'll be in somebody's camp. He's going to go to somebody's camp. He won't make it, but he'll be in somebody's camp.
Is he considered too small in the average arm? Is that it? He can move. He can run a little bit.
Yeah, he can run a little bit. He's a little more athletic than I thought. He just doesn't have the arm strength.
Right.
He just doesn't have, I mean, at that level, to be that small, you better be very athletic. Just ask Johnny Manziel and Zach Wilson what happens when you are little and not athletic.
Right, exactly.
You get destroyed in the NFL.
Yeah, or Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was like, he's really small, but he is very athletic, so we think he can work.
And no, he's not athletic enough.
No, you're seeing the limitations of it. Right.
Right.
Now. So, all right. Yeah. So there you go on that front. It's a great story. I call him the Kurt Warner of college. You know,
correct.
Like Kurt Warner going to Europe and playing for the indoor league and stocking shelves with the Hy-Vee and then ended up winning a championship. That's great. But let's get to the 26-year-old thing. I want to play this bite here. This is from Mad Dog Russo on SiriusXM about him being 20. Well, he's 25.
25,
But here's Mad Dog talking about it. Come on. Oh, play. Killing me with this. Hold on a second.
I have not a little problem. I have a major problem with Stetson Bennett, 25 years of age, playing college football. I can see it for 1 year. Last year he won. Burrow was 23, going on 24 when he won. But 25 years of age, playing quarterback for Georgia, he should have left after last year. I didn't know that he was that old. And I understand we have punters who are 50 from Australia punting.
By the way, that can't be true, can it? 50?
They're not. He's exaggerating.
I have a problem with a 25-year-old playing against 19-year-old kids. I had a problem with Winicky doing it for Florida State.
That's
it's
Chris
Winky. Winicky. Winky.
Can you believe, by the way, this guy is paid $3 million a year.
And A, he claims he didn't know Bennett was this old. And then he butchers the name Chris Winkie, Renicky.
Right.
I mean, right. Come on.
On top of that, he obviously doesn't know much about college football because there's a lot of 20-something, mid-20-year-olds playing college football.
All right.
Let me give you a little bit more here.
I didn't vote for him for that reason, and I understand that Bennett's story is a hell of a story. We all know about the walk-on and told to leave and everything else. I understand that. But he's older than 10 NFL quarterbacks. He's older than Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts. He's the same age as Lamar Jackson. And it's
Lamar. Jesus. So it goes on. It goes on.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, here's the thing. I listened to the whole 2 minutes and 20 seconds. And I'm not going to play it here because it never comes. He never says why it's a competitive advantage to be older. And so I don't know what his point is about why it's such a bad thing. Winkie was old. Brandon Whedon was like 28. So what? There have been other examples as well.
And he's talking about quarterback. Who cares? There's a lot of guys in other positions that are that age.
Oh, really?
That are playing. Yes. I'm going to tell you how it works when you go to junior college. So, you know, I went to junior college in California. So they have what's called in junior college, they have what's called green shirt. So what green shirt is you go practice, you take less than 12 credits, because if you take 12 credits and above, your clock starts, no matter whether you're playing sports or not. So there's guys that'll come practice, take less than 12 credits, and practice 2 or 3 years before they even start.
Really?
Start their clock. And that's because there's other people in the position ahead of them. They need to gain some weight. There's all kind of reasons. So we had guys, our safety ended up going to Arizona State at Fullerton. He was 24 years old. There's guys in the middle. The reason why this is in place, why there's no age limit, it's back from when the war and all the Army players.
Right.
So all those Army players who went to the war and came back to college were allowed. They played college football. They were in their mid-20s.
Yeah.
Blanchard and all those guys, and Army was winning all those national championships. All those guys were 20.
Didn't Roger Staubach serve and come back older? Yeah.
No, Roger Staubach served after.
After, all right.
After college. But during World War II and during that time period, those guys went off the war and then came back. And then the other reason why is because, you know, our country's kind of religious-based, right?
Yeah.
So you have all the BYU players.
Go on missions.
Yes. And then they come back. Half their team is in their mid-20s.
That is
BYU's
true as well.
Team.
Yeah.
So what is he talking about?
I don't know.
He's making no sense. Just because they want to – oh, the quarterback's 25 years old. What the difference – if you want to talk about age difference, is why are you putting the 18-year-old guys against 22-year-old guys, a guy that just graduated from high school? That would be a better comparison.
I would tend to agree. The only thing that I thought might be a bit of a superpower for a 25-year-old college, quote, kid versus 18- or 19-year-old kids would be the ability to focus and really put your shoulder into doing what you do. Sort of a maturity.
More mature, yes.
A maturity of effort, but there are 19-year-olds who are mature beyond their years and put everything into their sport and have a focus that is incredible.
Right, but that doesn't – there's nothing out there. You show me some data where it says someone 25 is a better college football player than someone who's 21 or 19.
I know.
What's the competitive advantage? What is it? Besides that you're more mature. You still – whatever you did, you still weren't playing college football for a while, because you wouldn't be there at 25 if you started playing college football at 18.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Kirby Smart had a good bite afterwards. Take a
story.
Listen.
Story. I walked into my little – they got a real nice head coach's office in that room over there. And I don't know if Stetson knows this, but I walked in and my 10-year-old son, Andrew's balling. And I was like, oh, no, somebody's hurt his feelings. Somebody's thrown him down. Somebody's done something to him. I said, why are you crying? You're going to ruin my moment. He said, Stetson's leaving. Stetson's gone. I said, he's 25 years old. He's got to go. Got to leave.
That's good.
Right.
So Kirby Smart's got it rolling. He looks funny to me. I was trying to pinpoint what he looks like, because I once said that Freddie.
I'm going to tell you.
Okay. He's Bobby Bowden. He's a younger Bobby Bowden.
2.0. Bobby Bowden 2.0. The good old shucks. People love him.
Southern
when he comes in
football
the house.
Coach.
Yep. Oh yeah. Goes in those little homes and talks that good old country talk. And I take good care of your boy. I'm from the same place you're from.
Now listen here. You come to Georgia. All Bulldogs are a family. We take care of each other. We're one big family right now. And you know we got good players. We're going to teach your boy how to compete. We're going to teach him how to be part of a team. We're going to give him some life skills. And I guarantee you, we are going to play for a national championship here at Georgia. Yep. So here's where you sign right here.
Exactly. And I'm going to send your boy back. He's going to come to me as a boy, and I'm going to send him back as a man. Just like Bobby Bowden. And that's how Bowden got all those players. That all shucks. I'm not the smartest guy in the room.
Did you see David Pollack tell Nick Saban to his face, Georgia's taking over college football? And Saban choked on his gum.
Yes. But you know, Saban, he that just made him work 80 hours a week now. He's going back and just.
He's like, okay, now I'm fucking pissed. Now Pollack being a Georgia grad, and he's not wrong. I mean, Georgia's on top of the heap, and, you know, obviously, Kirby learned under Saban as his D coordinator for 8 years. Couldn't beat Saban for the longest time, but finally did. So there's a new monster to contend with. I don't hate it. Like, I ran a poll today on Twitter, Hatch, about does the blowout, increase your appeal of college football, decrease it, or is it just the same? Basically, nobody said it made it more interesting. Only like 3% of the poll respondents said more interesting. 50% said it makes it less interesting because they're so dominant. 50% said, no, it's about the same. I don't mind super teams because Georgia is now the one that people are going to be shooting for. And I'd be willing to bet they're not going to stay on top of the mountain for that long. Someone's going to drag them off, you know?
And it also is going to depend on what they get for a quarterback. That's the important part, see, where everyone forgets. It's like, oh, we got this superpower. What you fail to realize in college football, guys are gone in 4 or 5 years, and you got to recruit another guy. You don't really know what you're getting. You know, it's not – your high school to college is a big jump, and you just don't know. All these guys that are five-star and all that, I don't believe in that mess. You still have to play.
Right.
You still have to play. And when you get in there and the big lights, and sometimes you don't do well. And so Georgia could fall off the map next year because they just don't have a quarterback next year. They don't know who the quarterback's going to be.
I don't know if they'll fall off the map.
Well,
but
not,
they could lose
off the map.
They could lose two games.
One or two games.
Yeah. Right. two games would feel like, oh my God. And two games will be enough to keep them out of the last go round of the current four-team college football playoff. All this gets solved in 2 years where you don't leave out the obvious heavyweights. This is what I said about the game. I go, this is why you don't keep Alabama out of the four-team playoff, because they would have had the muscle to throw punches with these teams. But it's a one-more-year problem.
Right. And on top of that, it's not like Georgia's been whipping Alabama.
No, they almost lost to Ohio State.
Barely beating Alabama.
Yeah.
Georgia is.
And Ohio State, Ohio State loses their best tight end. They lose Marvin Harrison Jr. They didn't have Jackson and Jigba Smith for the game. And so they came within a 50-yard hooked field goal of upsetting him. So, like, you know, and same thing. Alabama lost Jameson Williams the year before. Otherwise, they might have beaten Georgia. Georgia might have nothing still as national championships.
Right. So it's not like Georgia's like on this huge pedestal and they're just crushing everybody. No, Alabama's right there. They've barely beaten them twice.
Yeah.
And so I think Alabama will probably beat them next year.
I'll be fun to watch. I don't mind watching the heavyweights.
Georgia's going to lose two games next year.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
There was a run there by Dabo at Clemson where it's like, oh shit, man, Clemson's a monster now. They're right there with Alabama. Well, they've fallen off and they cannot get back on the horse.
And why have they fallen off? Quarterback. DJ Uyunglele, whatever his name is.
Uyunglele.
Another 5-star guy that couldn't play at the next level.
Yeah,
what happened?
He was hyped.
Games.
Right. He was hyped. Yep. And you know what? They kept trying to make DJ Uyunglele a thing, and they kept trying and kept trying, and they kind of wasted a year and a half, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
A lot
now
of
they're back to having a quarterback, that Kluber guy.
Yeah, Kluber looks pretty good.
Yep. And that's what I'm afraid is going to happen at Georgia.
Yeah. I don't mind Dabo. A lot of people hate him. He's very much.
I'm not a big fan of him.
I know.
I think he's a fake and a fraud.
Yeah, he's kind of fakey, and he's a big time thumper of the Bible.
Yeah, that's why I have a problem with him.
But I remove myself a bit, and I do like the program being a heavyweight. They're the only program worth the shit in that conference, pretty much, at least when they were big. So Jimbo Fisher set an unbelievable mark this year, Hatch, and that is he is, for the third time in his career, he started the year ranked in the top six. And finished the year unranked entirely three times. According to research by the Action Network, this has never been done before. He's done it twice now at A&M the last 2 years, and he did it at Florida State in 2017. That's not a good stat.
No. And that just proves that stop overrating Texas A&M.
Well, maybe they
and
will be this.
These other SEC schools, they put too many of them in the top 25, and a lot of them fall off at the end.
Yeah.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State, all these guys, you know, that they rank, they're not that good.
Yeah, I would agree.
And look at Tulsa. Look what Tulane did.
I know.
Took out USC.
I know. And my boy Jayco, who's a big USC fan, or so he claims, did not watch the game. And people are killing him in my mentions and in my email going, oh, your boy Jay claims to be a big fan. He just said, I didn't watch the bowl game. And I'm like, well, that's his deal. You know, he's not that much of a hardcore fan. I think if you claim to be a fan of a team, you should probably watch the bowl game, even if it's a bowl game you don't want.
Right.
Just
I mean,
I
watched
play.
I watched some of the crappy Fenway Bowl that Cincinnati played in. You think I wanted to watch that mess? I watched the half of it, and Cincinnati had so many guys that opted out. I was like, I watched the half.
But at least you gave it a shot, though.
I did.
Yeah. By the way, your ex-coach there, Luke Fickell from Cincinnati, he is fucking stirring up a storm recruiting and transfer portaling at Wisconsin. It's remarkable. Do you know he has brought in now, I'm not kidding, I think it's 6 quarterbacks. It's at least 4 quarterbacks. It might be 5 or 6. So many quarterbacks that I'm like, wait a minute. How many do you need or even want?
Because it's the weed out process, right? The ones that are going to have a chance to play or compete or stay, and the rest will leave.
Right. But the thing is, he keeps getting guys to agree to transfer in, even though they know they're like, oh shit, he already got so-and-so. This guy, Tanner Mordecai from SMU is presumably the starter. They got a high school prospect who's a 4-star from Texas.
Oh, and he got more. And see, he knows him well, Mordecai, because the SMU. They were in our conference.
Yeah.
Played against them.
Oh yeah.
3 years.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And I'm just thinking, wow, how many quarterbacks do you really want? But I guess in college, that's the way it goes. I just said before I brought you on, I said the Bears should absolutely draft a quarterback 1-1 and have him compete with Justin Fields. I know it would ruffle a lot of people wrong, but you know, this is something that most NFL
of a first round pick.
What if, wait a minute though, but what if say Bryce Young is that dude? And you've got that dude for 10 years, then you throw Justin Fields away and say it didn't work.
Well, then you just trade him and get more picks in.
Who, Justin Fields?
Yep, if you think that, and because Chicago needs a lot of stuff.
They do.
So if you think Bryce Young is better than Justin Fields, then you just trade him and get more picks.
Okay. I'd keep them both for a year and then trade one.
No, it's a waste of a pick.
Why?
You wasted. Because Justin Fields is not going to be worth it sitting on the bench. If Bryce Young takes his spot, then his value goes down.
Okay.
But if his value goes down, you're not going to get the picks that you want. You trade him now or during right before the draft or draft day,
right,
where his value's way up, and then you give away the first round pick. I mean, you take the first round pick and you get a whole bunch of picks for him.
In a perfect world, yes, but you don't know if Fields will turn the corner as a passer and become a full-fledged QB1, or you don't know if, say, Bryce Young or whoever you take will be better than him. There's always going to be some degree of waste, of spoilage in your picks. You can't always do it perfectly. And because quarterback is such an important position, I'd be willing to risk some spoilage to get it right by way of brute force. But nobody's ever tried that before, really. You know, just keep picking a quarterback and tell him to compete.
Dallas did it.
Dallas
did it. When Jimmy Johnson first got there, they drafted Troy. Yep.
That's
he was
true.
The first pick in supplemental draft.
Steve Walsh
he
was?
He just drafted Troy Aikman number one. And then they drafted Steve Walsh number one in the supplemental draft.
All right. Speaking of which, your vibe on the Cowboys making the Super Bowl, yes or no?
No.
Because?
Because Dak Prescott and Dallas are too inconsistent.
Okay.
Way too inconsistent. And nobody's beating San Francisco anyway.
Ooh.
Philadelphia's not going to. Well, I take that back. Philadelphia will, because Brock Purdy's Cinderella story will be over in the playoffs.
At some point.
It's like the NBA. Yeah, regular season, they half-ass it. And then when the playoffs start, it's a whole different game. And that's what happens in the NFL.
Yeah, I say Brock Purdy is in the white Bronco phase right now of his NFL career. Eventually, they're going to catch him.
Right, eventually. And he's not bad. I thought he was a great quarterback at Iowa State. I was surprised he got drafted so late.
Well, and here's the thing.
He's very prepared.
Yeah.
But when you get more film on somebody, they start to get your weaknesses. And once your weaknesses get exposed, and Brock Purdy, what else can he do?
Right.
Besides sit back there and throw the ball? I mean,
with a great offense and scheme, which I think Kyle does have, and with incredible weapons, which they do have, you don't have to be a superhero quarterback. You just have to be smart, know the system, and paint by the numbers. But also, there's something to be said for this kid now has such awesome weapons that he didn't have in college. For right now, the position may be easier for him, even though he's playing at a higher, faster level.
Well, actually, he did. He had Breece Hall.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
But one guy, though,
he was there.
He didn't have McCaffrey and Ayuk and all their and Kittle.
No.
Fucking Kittle. Jesus. By the way, is Brock Bowers the next Travis Kelce?
No, he's the next Bronkowski.
Is that better or worse?
I think it's better because he can block, too.
Wow. Okay.
Like Gronkowski could block. And I don't think he's as big as Gronkowski. Gronkowski's a little bigger than him. But I think Brock Bowers is a better blocker than my man Travis Kelce.
Yeah. All right. I got
to say, even though he's from Cincinnati. But
I know.
And don't forget the other one either. Washington, the 6'7", 270 pound.
Big O.
Tight end.
Big O, they call him because he wears number zero. Yeah. He's a fucking freak. I was in love with him early, and he got hurt this year. My feeling is too much poundage on that chassis to ever stay healthy. He's
right,
too big.
They're going to cut him at the knees.
Oh, God. You're like chopping down a fucking oak tree. Okay, real quick, your thoughts on DeMar Hamlin. You played the game at college. You played briefly in the CFL. You understand the risks, the fear of playing when you take a big hit and whatnot. What did you think when you saw that and your thoughts on the whole situation?
Well, at first, I'm glad he's healthy.
Amen to that.
Second, I'm glad they had a – you know, the NFL, I was reading an article that before the game starts, all the – emergency personnel get together before the game and they talk about the plan if gets hurt, and they find out where, who has a defibrillator, where it is, and they go through an emergency practice before the game.
Wow.
Every NFL game does that. So they were highly prepared, which I commend the NFL for putting that in place and these guys for having a plan. And they executed it to perfection because they saved the guy's life. And, you know, so I commend those guys as well.
Yeah, they're studs.
Yeah. And it was just such a freak accident based on the information that I have and seen that, you know, he got hit at a certain time where his heart was beating, which caused a cardiac arrest. That's the way I read it.
Right.
And it was such a freak accident that something like that just doesn't happen.
I hope it doesn't happen again, that's for sure. Because right. It seemed like the thing is, you watch it, you're like, well, shit, that kind of hit happens all day, every day.
Right.
Yeah. But it was just at the wrong time, perhaps. We don't know. But that said, so, you know, I would assume he's not going to play again, right?
I think he will.
Really?
Unless they come out with something saying he has some kind of
heart defect. Condition. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, that's what guys do. They want to. They want to play.
Yeah. No, I understand.
I mean, you're wired that way.
Yeah.
You know, to come back.
That's good to see his comeback. And did you see the Steelers and their cardiac celebration this weekend?
Oh, that was awful.
I mean, and look, it was DeMarvin Leal came over and gave some fake chest compressions to teammate Alex Highsmith. And he said he didn't even think two and two. It was just something they had done. I didn't know, Hatch, that apparently Madden, in the video game, has that celebration. And they
took,
yes, EA Sports is removing the CPR touchdown celebration from Madden in light of the recent DeMar Hamlin tragedy. Who the fuck knew that was in the game?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. And to think we know a paramedic in Brian Brzezicki, who comes on our trip to Pinehurst every year, who's a great dude but a goofball, and you're thinking, right, that guy saves lives? And the answer is yes.
Right.
All right. Hatch, great run as always. We didn't have time to talk about Colin Morikawa's 7-stroke meltdown in Hawaii Rahm. Oofa.
I couldn't believe it.
That's golf for you, though, right?
I love Morikawa. Yeah, that's golf.
That is golf. All right, brother. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
All right.
See you, pal. All right, there you go. Straight up, honey, really, I'm asking. Most of these niggas think they be... All right. Oh, boy. Okay, see, I didn't know that was in there. I should have figured that, though. But anyway, thanks for listening, everybody, and have yourself a great Wednesday. And that was a good run from my guy Hatch via the phone. We'll have to do some more of that. All right. Thanks for listening. Have a great Wednesday, and we will see you next time. Around two, plans to leave, throw the keys to little C's, pull the truck up front and roll up the next. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.